Airline pollution is soaring and forecast to increase sevenfold by 2050. One solution is biofuels, and efforts are underway to make them better and cheaper. In Focus on Technology, hear about the University of Dayton, which can now test alternative fuels in small quantities. You're listening to 91.7 WVXU on NPR One. I'm Ann Thompson. UD says it's the first in the nation to pre-screen alternative aviation fuels. The reason this is important is it gives fuel developers an early indication of how well it'll work in an otherwise long, expensive, and complicated approval process. Assistant Professor of Mechanical and Aerospace Engineering Josh Hine runs the testing lab.
And so we're able to give a green light or maybe a yellow light on how to tweak a composition or a product pathway to make the fuel safer.
This pre-screening uses only a fraction of the tens of thousands of gallons needed to ultimately complete the American Society for Testing and Materials program.
There's a handful of places around the world that can do this. We're very actively collaborating with DLR Germany on developing a more robust or more comprehensive set of testing approaches with very low volumes as well. There's a couple other groups at institutions here in the U.S. as well.
He says the testing is getting better, and so is the fuel. The first generation of biofuels, more than a decade ago, used crops like sugarcane and grains like feedstock. But the Ethical Corporation, a business think tank, says that pushed up food prices and led to changes in land use. The corporation recommends using crops grown only on land that has already been deforested and is marginal for other uses. Here's Hine again.
Ethanol could be a feedstock. Beet juice could be a feedstock. There's a lot of attention right now on waste streams. Waste streams are a low value carbon. So you can take what would be considered trash and turn it into something that has value associated with it. Some examples of waste streams that are out there right now is forest residues, municipal solid waste, very low concentrations of CO in different industrial processes.
These renewable, recycled, and alternative sources have to mimic the chemistry of petroleum jet fuel. UD can tell how well they do by running a handful of tests with as little as half a liter or 17 ounces. Shane Kozer and Harrison Yang are looking at the viscosity of a sample. How thick the fuel is at minus 40 is a pretty good indication how it's going to mix in a gas turbine combustor. They're also studying the fuel's hydrocarbon molecules. Kozer is a chemical engineering graduate student.
It was really of interest to me both because of the emissions reductions, and I just really enjoyed the work that was being done in the lab as well.
Yang was originally interested in doing combustion work, but likes the environmentally friendly aspect to this research.
What we're doing is actually a lot cooler than what I thought, and it's a lot more meaningful to the world.
Sustainable aviation fuel development and deployment is a key element of the U.S. aviation greenhouse gas emissions reduction plan. Norway is the first country to mandate the use of 5% sustainable fuel blended with kerosene beginning in 2020. It wants to grow the blend to 30% by 2030. The Australian airline group Qantas is investing $50 million over 10 years to help develop a sustainable aviation fuel. It wants to reach zero carbon emission by 2050. Ann Thompson, 91.7 WVXU.